All right. If you were here this morning, you know that I began a series, a four-part series entitled Our God is Able. And the very first sermon in that series was Our God is Able to Save and to Destroy. And what we're doing, you going to get settled down there? Amen. What we're doing is this. We're looking at that word able as it shows up in your King James Bible and how it relates to God. Some things that our God is able to do. And this morning I begin that four-part series by talking about the fact that the Bible says our God is able to save. And I'm glad he is. Hebrews chapter 7 verse number 25 says that he is able to save to the uttermost. And I pleaded with you about not giving up praying for people. Don't give up on folks. Keep praying for them until they're in the ground or you're in the ground. You keep praying for them. God can save any sinner. I don't care how messed up they are. Look at some of us. Amen. He saved us, didn't he? Amen. Amen. And only God can do it, and God has the power to do it, and he is able to do it and wants to do it if they'll just turn to him. And then I preached about the fact that that same God that is able to save is also able to destroy. And we looked over in Matthew chapter 10 where God, through Jesus Christ, says, don't fear that fellow that's able to destroy your body. But fear the one that's able to destroy your body and soul in hell. And that same God that is able and wants to deliver you, wants to save you, jumping ahead of myself here tonight, wants to save you, that's the same God that will put you in hell if you reject him. He'll destroy you. So we started out the foundation this morning, what I believe was very important. Our God is able to save, and our God is able to damn. But now I want us to look at, as we go on further here tonight, I want you to take your Bible and turn to the book of Daniel chapter 3. And we're going to be back in a passage we were in just the other week. Except we're going to look at something different about it. So just keep your seat here tonight. We won't stand. We'll be looking at a few different passages. We're going to be looking in Daniel chapter 3 tonight and also Daniel chapter 6. And we're going to notice where this word able shows up. Tonight, I want to preach on this. Our God is able to deliver. He is able to deliver. And you remember this story as we read it the other day. You know about Daniel chapter 3. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This is a story about the three Hebrew children that would not worship the false image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They were warned, if you remember, and some of you that were not here, you still know this story. They were warned if they did not worship this image, they would be cast into the fire. And notice what their response is. Here in Daniel chapter 3, verse number 17. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, notice what they said, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And he lets them know that, and of course he heats up the furnace and he puts them in there. Main part of that text I want you to look at here tonight is they say this: our God is able to deliver us. Do you believe your God is able to deliver you tonight? Remember what I said this morning, the definition of being able to do something means that you have the power and you have the sufficiency to do whatever it is. Do you believe tonight that God has the power and the ability and the strength and the knowledge that at any time, whatever it is you're going through here tonight, if it's something as bad as what these three Hebrew children were going through, boys were going through, or just something else, do you believe he can deliver you tonight? He can deliver you, and he is able to deliver you. All right, Brother Jonathan, would you pray for this message? We'll get started.
Lord, thank you again for allowing us to be back in church this evening, Lord. We pray now, Father,
yes,
that you help our pastor and preach the word to us.
Please, Lord.
Help us be attentive, Lord, open our hearts, and Father, help us, Lord, to practice in our own life what we get concerning this evening, Lord.
Yes. Yes. Amen. Thank you. Now, if you look at this story, you know that the odds looked pretty bad for the three Hebrew children, didn't it? They were against the king of the world at that time. The king of the world. And he's got everything on his side where he's going to put them in a fire and he's going to burn them up. And if some of us had been there watching, let's just be honest, if some of us had been there watching, we would have thought, boy, it's over for them. They're going to burn up just as sure as I'm standing there. They're fixing to burn up. At least they'll go on to be with God, but they're going to burn up. This thing is over. But as you know the story and how the story continues and you understand the story, Jesus was in that fire with them. And many times Jesus will not keep you from going into the fire, but hallelujah, he'll go in there with you. That's what Daniel 3 says about it. Daniel 3:24, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. That's Jesus Christ in the fire with them. That's the one they're depending on to deliver them. And he didn't keep them out of heartache. He didn't keep them out of trouble, but he got them through it. He got them through it. God never promised he wouldn't allow us to go into the fire. But he did promise he'd go through the fire with us. You say, where did he say that? Well, he said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. Nothing can separate you from the love of God, the Bible says. He's not going to let you go through that thing by yourself. He's going through it with you. I thank God for that. I thank God I have that promise. You have that promise as a believer. Listen, he is able to deliver you in any of your circumstances. It doesn't matter what it is. And sometimes people may look at this thing like over a few chapters. As a matter of fact, take your Bible now and turn over to Daniel chapter 6. In this same book here, I want to show this to you in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6. And you know what goes on with Daniel. This is where Daniel's put into the lion's den. Now what happens is King Darius is tricked into signing a decree that if any man who petitions God or anyone else besides the king, King Darius, he is for 30 days he is to be put into the lion's den. Well, you know what Daniel did, if you're familiar with the story? He just did like he always done. He said, I'm not going to let this affect me. I'm going to keep praying. And so they find him praying. They trick King Darius because King Darius loves Daniel. But they trick him into signing this decree. They get him. They put him in the lion's den. And the Bible tells you that King Darius doesn't sleep good that night. He's all worried. He's all upset. He's all fretful. He's like, man, I just sure hope somehow against reason, against all hope. Oh, I hope Daniel makes it. And the Bible records, when you read this story over here in Daniel chapter 6, that he got up real early in the morning and he runs out there to that den where Daniel is with those lions. And you know what he says in a lamentable voice? There in verse number 20, Daniel chapter 6, verse number 20. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Now you know what a lamentable voice is, don't you? I'll just demonstrate it for you. And the king spake and said to Daniel, oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually, here it is, able to deliver thee from the lions? That's what he asked. Is he able? Well, we done found out he is. Our God says he's able. And notice how he answers that in verse number 21. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. Hot dog, you made it. And you know what happened as a result of this? King Darius said, come on out, man. Your God is the one true God. Man, we should have known this from the beginning. And he took all those evil people that got this petition signed about Daniel and their wives and all of them. The Bible says that the lions had the mastery of them before they ever hit the bottom. That means they chewed them up. Now, there's a man wondering, is he able? He's asking, is he able? And Daniel proved that he was able. Here's these three Hebrew children that make a statement that he is able. He's able to deliver. Listen to me tonight. As I've gotten older and preached, I have come to the realization that any time I stand before people, I don't care if it's on a Sunday night. I don't care if it's on a Wednesday night. I don't care if it's on a Sunday morning. I've preached to over 1,000 people before. and I preached to seven. I remember I was at a church one night and I preached to seven, and four of them came to the altar. That's pretty good service. It doesn't matter what the number of people are or how small it is. That doesn't matter. I am more conscious than ever. Probably I've grown up a little bit. I've gotten older and I've went through some things. I don't know what it is, but I'm more conscious than ever that every time I preach, I'm looking at people and they're looking at me, but I'm looking at people that's hiding stuff. And I'm not talking about sin. I'm sure some of that goes on too. I'm looking at people that's hiding stuff. You're acting all right and you're shaking your head and you're smiling, but you're forcing that smile. You're hurting. Some of you, you did all you, it was all you could do just to get back here tonight. And I'm always aware of the fact that I don't know who's going to be here tonight, Lord, or who's going to be here in the morning, who's going to be here, whatever service it is. And they are just, they're down. They need deliverance. And their faith is very, very small. I don't know who may have come in here tonight. You know what I prayed this afternoon? I was praying, asking God to help me preach this, help me to give it out. And I said, Lord, I please let the people wind up here that need this. And if you don't want them here, then don't let them come. But if somebody needs this, please give them the strength to get here so I can help them. Or if they're not physically able to get here, maybe they can hear it on the live broadcast. Let me tell you something here tonight. No matter what your circumstances are, whatever trial you're in here tonight, whatever problem you have, whatever enemy you have, I'm not just talking about the devil, whatever sin you're fighting, whatever addiction you're fighting, whatever physical problem you may have, whatever emotional problem you may have here tonight, listen, God can deliver you from it. I can tell you that. If I just one testimony here tonight told you all the things that God has brought me through and delivered me from and helped me with, you wouldn't believe it. I still got plenty of sin in my life to battle, but thank God there's a bunch of it I don't even struggle with no more. No more at all. Ain't that wonderful? He delivered me from it. And if I will keep fighting and trusting him with this stuff I'm fighting right now, he's going to deliver me some more. And you too, he's no respecter of persons. He will constantly be cleaning your life up if you won't quit. And you just say, I know my God can deliver. I know he can do it. I know he can take it away. He's promised he can do it. He is able. He's got the power to do it. I'm just going to trust him. I'm not going to look at my circumstances. I'm not going to try to reason the thing out. I'm just going to trust what that book says over what I feel. My God can deliver. He can take me out of the worst circumstances imaginable. Like in a lion's den. That's pretty bad. Or in a fiery furnace. And the fellas that are thrown in there, they don't even smell like fire, the Bible says. But the fellas that throw them in there, he burns them up. God can do that. He can preserve you. He can help you. He can get you and I through it. And listen to this. Suppose it's like the Hebrew children said. We'll get back to that sermon I preached the other Sunday. Suppose it's like the Hebrew children said. Even if he doesn't, I'm going to trust him. Let me tell you what I know my God will do, because there's times he hadn't fixed the thing for me. There's times he hadn't taken it away. There's times he hasn't answered that prayer like I asked him to do. Well, what did he do, Brother Dennis? Well, he did pretty much did for me the same thing he did for Paul. When Paul said, my grace is sufficient. He didn't take it away from Paul. And as far as I can tell, he never took it away from Paul. But he gave him the grace to get through it. Do you know what I know about my God? He may not deliver me in the way I want him to. See, what I want him to is, oh, God, take the whole thing away. Knock it off. Finish it. I don't want to go through it no more. And God said, well, you got to go through it. You need to go through it. If you don't go through it, you can't grow anymore. I'm like, do you want to grow? Yes, God, but ain't there some other way to grow? No. Do you know how you get the pure gold and you know how you get the good silver? You turn the heat up and get the dross out. So you have a pure product. You know what God's got to do to us to get us to more conformed into his image and get us to growing? He's just got to turn the heat up. Sometimes he'll turn it up where it's very, very uncomfortable, won't he? And sometimes you'll pray and say, God, I'll get me out of here. Get me out of here. Get me out of this heat. And God says, I'm not getting you out of the heat. You're in my perfect will right now. See, I know your buddies, they look around, they think, well, God's judging you, and you've done some kind of great sin, and all that kind of surmising. Don't listen to that nonsense. They don't even know what they're talking about. A lot of times, God will put you in that thing, and ain't nothing you've done at all. It's just, this is a step you have to take in order to grow. It's a step that you have to take to build moral, to build character, and build integrity, and to get closer to God, and be more conformed into his image. It's just a step you have to take. And sometimes God is not going to get you out of the fire. But he will deliver you. How will he deliver you? He will deliver you by walking through it with you and saying, I'm going to give you the grace to get through this thing. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. Nothing is going to separate you as my child from my love or my presence. How about that? That's pretty good stuff. I may not answer your prayer like you want me to. I may not end this trouble like you want me to. I may not deliver you like you want me to, but I'm telling you right now, I am able to deliver and I am able to sustain you through this whole thing. And I can preach not only by the word of God here tonight, but I can preach by experience. All the things he's got me through. He doesn't love me more than he loves you. He doesn't do something for me he won't do for you. Are you his child tonight? He's able to deliver. You're sitting here tonight and you say, well, I'm just as saved as you are, Brother Dennis, but I don't have the joy down in my heart. And it looks like he's done something for you and he's just been good to you. Yes, he has just been good to me and I didn't deserve it. But he don't love me no more than he loves you. He ain't no more concerned about me than he is you. Whatever it is you're battling, God can deliver you from it. And while you're going through it, until he delivers you, notice what else he can do. That goes along with that, with the God delivering you. He can aid you and comfort you as you go through it. Turn to one more passage here tonight. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. I'm going to look at that word again. Able as it relates to what God can do and will do. That word able implying he has the ability to do it. You can say, Brother Dennis, are you able to dunk a basketball? Nah. Brother Dennis, are you able to eat a whole chicken at one time? Probably, yeah. Amen. Amen. There's some things I'm just not able to do. Brother Dennis, are you able to outsmart Miss Darby? Not in my best day. Not in my best day, man. There's just some things I'm not able to do. But listen, I want to get this across to you. Everything that I'm going to preach to you this morning, and I'm preaching to you tonight, and I'm going to preach to you next Sunday, Lord willing, if I live and the Lord don't come back. Everything I'm going to preach to you about, bless the Lord, oh my soul, God's able to do it. It's not, well, can he or can he? I don't know. You figure it. No, he can and he will and he does. Amen. He's able to deliver. But notice this, Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 18. Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 18. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted. Christ suffered temptations. He was on this earth 33 and a half years. He knows what it's like to be a man. He is able, there's that word, he is able to succor them that are tempted. Do you know what the word succor means? It means to relieve, to help, or to aid. When you go through a temptation, God will do one of the three with you. He might relieve it. He might just give you the victory one day. How many of you can say, man, there was something in my Christian life that I struggled with for years, and one day God just, and I've never struggled with it again. Several of you. Amen. I've got testimonies like that. Or he could help you. And this help may be, okay, he hadn't taken it away yet, but he's given me victory to fight it. He's given me the strength to fight it until he gives me the victory. He hasn't taken it away. It's still there. I'm still battling him, but he's given me the grace to deal with it. You have to realize who you are in Christ. I'm not against what people do to help folks. I believe some of these programs that are not local church have enough truth in them that they help people, and I'm for it. But I am not for anybody standing up and saying, I'm an alcoholic and I'll always be an alcoholic. That's not Bible. I'm a new creature in Christ. At least positionally, I'm no longer an alcoholic. I don't care if I drink 20 beers a day. Positionally, if you're saved, you're not an alcoholic. And when you get that position, what's in your soul, out in your body, and working out your own salvation, not working for your salvation, working out the salvation that's within you, you don't have to ever drink another beer in your life. I know too many people that God's delivered them from it. They're not an alcoholic no more. You don't stand up and say, I'll always be an alcoholic. That's contrary to that book. And I know people that's not. God is able and he has power to get you through a temptation. And do you know why he has that power and he's able? I mean, he does anyway. But here's the good thing about this tonight. When you look over in the book of Hebrews chapter 4, just a chapter or two over, look over there in Hebrews chapter 4. Look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 15. You see, man does not have the excuse to look up in heaven and say, God, but you just don't understand. You don't understand what it's like to have this body. You don't understand what it's like to go through this world. You're talking about how you're able to deliver me and able to help me and able to get me through it. Yeah, that's you up there in the third heaven reaching down there where I'm at. Why don't you come down here and experience what I went through and then tell me how it's done? Okay, he did. We don't have a God that we can't relate to. I mean, that was the whole beauty of the way Jesus paid for man's sins. He didn't just come down in an instantaneous thing and do it. He had a thing planned where he come down born of a virgin and grew up, went through all the stages of growth and in life and dealt with things like we deal with them. So when we pray, we have a God in heaven. We have our mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, that understands what we're talking about. You get tired, our Lord had to sleep. You get hungry, our Lord had to eat. Are you poor? Our Lord was poor. Have to work hard, our Lord had to work hard. You ever been rejected? Our Lord was rejected. You ever experienced grief and sorrow? Our Lord did, just like you in a human body. God in a human body. You ever experienced tremendous, terrible pain? Physical pain? Nobody in here like the Lord. You ever had spiritual suffering as a human? Not like Christ in the garden. He's praying so hard because he's fixing to take on all this vile, wicked mess on him. The Bible says he became sin for us. He's praying so hard that he's sweating blood. Don't tell me we don't have somebody that knows what we're going through. We have somebody that knows exactly what we're going through. That's what this passage says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. The only difference is he didn't sin. The only difference is it never got the best of him. It sunk all of us, not Christ. But he went through some of the very same things. He knows what it's like to walk on the earth as a man. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ can succor us. He can help us. He can aid us. He can relieve us when we are going through any temptation. Do you remember that verse we covered back over in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 13? That is a verse everybody needs to memorize if you don't have it. Where it says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are. There's that word again. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be, there's that word again, able to bear it. He says, where you're not able, God will make a way where you are able. You know what it is? It's an able God making an able way for you to get through it. Sometimes I don't want to believe that. Sometimes I don't want to believe that because of my flesh. Sometimes I want to say, I just can't help it. I just kept, Lord, you know I prayed. You know I tried. You know I struggled. You know I did not. There was just no way out of this thing. And God says, you better look again, boy. You better pray again. You better be honest. There was. It might have been like a fire escape. Who wants to get out there about 10 floors high on a little metal thing and climb down? Nobody does, but it's better than burning up. Sometimes God doesn't give us a way out of the thing like we want him to. It's very different. But you know what he said? With every single temptation, now either we're going to believe God's word or not, amen? If that book is right, how many of you believe it's right? Then God says every single time I'm tempted, along with the temptation, with whatever my flesh is doing, the world of the devil, God is right there saying, here's the way out, boy. Here's the way out, ma'am. Here's the way out, preacher. Amen. Sometimes we just don't want that way out because we like our sin. We like our sin. Hey, man, the Bible's true. It says the pleasures of sin. Why do you think so many folks sinning? It's pleasurable, but it's for a season, the Bible said. It's short-lived, but it is pleasurable. Anybody that says, I don't enjoy sinning, they're lying. You get some enjoyment out of it or you wouldn't do it. So he won't tempt you above what you're able. He will make it where you're able to bear it. You have got to believe what the Bible says and not what you and I think about it or how we feel about it. There may be somebody here tonight. Listen, there may be somebody here tonight. You are just about ready to give up on that sin. I bet you, I just don't think God would have it at such a time as this to preach this. I bet if some of you be very honest, there's somebody or somebody's here tonight that said, Brother Dennis, I thought it, I prayed about it, I thought it, and I prayed about it, and it's such a grief to fight it, I'm just, forget it. I'll just die and answer to God for it. Well, you're doing what I do sometimes, and it never works. You're fighting it in the flesh. That's your problem. That's my problem often. You're fighting it in the flesh. You know what God's doing for you tonight? He sent an old preacher up here, old redneck preacher for you, so you can understand it, to tell you and offer you some hope. That you, if you're saved here tonight, whatever sin you're facing, you have a God that's able to deliver, and you have a God that's able to succor you through the temptation. You have a God that's already walked in your steps. You have a God that knows what it's like to be a man. And you have a God that is able. He is able to get you through it. And if he doesn't take it away tonight, he will give you the grace to resist and go on. And you keep trusting him in it until he does take it away. Amen. And one day he'll take it away. Amen. I got a couple of things I'm waiting for him to take away right now. I hope he'll take them away. I sure don't like them. I know he doesn't like them. You say, well, what if he doesn't? I'll tell you what I want to do. I want to die on the firing line. I want to die if he comes back, or I want to die confessing, repenting, and going on. Confessing, repenting, and going on. Confessing, repenting, and going on. Never quitting. Realizing that I have a God that's able to succor me and help me and comfort me and help me not to give up. Help me not to quit until he does deliver me. If we have some Christian in here tonight, and you're saying, I fought it, and to be honest with you, I'm sick of fighting him. Stop fighting him. Don't fight a fight that's already been won, like the old Christian singer said. You can't whip it. You can't get deliverance. You will never do nothing but fail with your sin. You will repeatedly sin. But there's somebody living inside of me. There's somebody living inside of you. That Bible says greater is he that's within you than he that's within the world. You say, what does that mean? Well, it means absolutely nothing if you don't apply it. It means that I've got somebody living on the inside of me that can help me overcome any and every sin. He's able. He's able to deliver. He's able to succor. Do you believe that tonight? Do you do like I do? I have some weird thinkings. I'll give one of them to you. If you say, yeah, I already knew you was weird, but here we go. I know it's the devil. I know it's the devil, and probably a lot of my personality has to do with it, and we're going to get ready to close here tonight. But for some strange reason, I don't know why, but I have to fight this feeling. I'm just going to tell you that maybe somebody else does. Probably not, but maybe somebody else does. It's like this. It's like, oh, yeah, I believe that book, and I believe God will do it for you. But he won't do it for me. I have to fight that. It's like I have no trouble having faith that he's going to touch you. But something's twisted or messed up with me in my mind where I have trouble applying that same thing that he's going to do it for me too. I don't understand that. Maybe the Lord would have me to mention that just so somebody could. Maybe there's somebody else here like that. I don't know. But that thing is written to everybody and to all of his children tonight. And he said he's able to deliver, he's able to succor you. No matter what it is, whatever trial, whatever problem, whatever emotion, whatever struggle, whatever sin, addiction, it doesn't matter. God is right and we're wrong. God is true and let every man be a liar. His book says he can and will do it. And I'm going to believe it. And with God's help, I'm not just going to believe it about you. I'm going to believe it about me. Every head bowed, eye closed.